Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
We have friends that are in a church in Zimbabwe. And revival and awakening was happening so fast. People were so fired for Jesus that they were going up into the hills and the mountains and finding tribes. There's a tribe called Tree People because they literally live and sleep in trees. And they won all of them to Christ. And the masses of people were so great. They didn't have enough pastors, so they would take some guy that had been saved, you know, like a year or 6 months. And they would say, okay, you're a pastor. You go out under that tree. And, you know, just tell them what, you know, we'll teach you the best we can, and you teach them the best you can, you know. And what I'm seeing, there's a concept in business that I learned a long time ago, and it's called third grader teaches second grader. You may say, well, I don't have a PhD. I don't have my master's. Well, we're entering a season where we'll just help them with what we do know, right? We help them with as best we can. Nobody knows everything, nobody, except for God. But we'll help them because there's going to come, and some of the people that will come are going to surprise you. You're going to see people come in that you thought, that guy, that guy's never to come. And you will see some of them come. And some of them, some of the toughest ones make the most amazing saints. Because he who is forgiven much loves much. Sometimes the rankest sinners become the greatest, most sold out, most dedicated, most devoted. But they still need some help, right? They need an older brother or sister. And so we're being prepared and we're being called upon to help people with whatever God is helping us with, whatever Bible studies we've been doing, whatever we've been learning from the Word, whatever we've been learning from the Spirit. And you're going to see, I know we've said this before, you're going to see a great shaking. Don't worry about it. Just keep your feet in God. Keep your feet steadfast in Him. This is not a time for wandering. There have been times when people get away with that. This is not that time. Now is a time to be really planted in Him relationally. I'm not talking about rules and regulations. I'm not talking about getting everything right. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about plant your feet in Him. Get your relationship in Him. Let your spirit be open to Him all day long. You know, don't just talk to Him at your set little time. Be talking to Him all day long. Be listening for what He might say all day long. There can come just an open, two-way conversation all day, all the time. It's still good to have a set time and set times. That's still really good. You need both. But I feel like this is a day where we're going to get to see some of the most exciting stuff we've ever seen. And so we want to be deeply planted in Him. Sometimes you'll find yourself saying things you're not even knowing that it's the Spirit of God talking through you. You know, prophecy for me is usually He says it first and I repeat what He says. But there are times when He just comes so strong that all of a sudden you're just saying it and going, oh, there was no delay. And I'm sensing we're coming into such a time in the body. And a lot of this has just been practice. All the prophetic stuff in the church, that's just practice. Because it really, I'm telling you, the doors are going to open. And I feel like the Lord is saying thronged. I don't know how, I don't know when. I'm not sure if it'll be everywhere. But what I'm seeing is there's going to be a lot of people who say, enough already, I need Jesus, I need some help. What do I do? Help, 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 help. And I feel like it's going to be all hands on deck. You know, all hands on, some of you have books, shelves and shelves full of books. You read once or you never finished. You know, you're going to be like, here, you know, read this, you know, and the Lord will lead you. He'll lead you. Give that one to that one. Give that one to that one. Some of you have dusty CDs, you know. I'm partners with a lot of ministries. I got like a billion CDs, you know. They shouldn't be on my shelf, right? So when the day comes, you'll know it. You'll know it. You say, but I don't hear that. You'll know it. I don't hear that. You'll know it. God is making a preparation. I saw something so interesting during worship. God often shows me, did anybody get to see Facebook Sunday night? Anybody catch that? We talked about a treasure in an earthen vessel, and God gave me this idea of a He often shows me this treasure chest, and it means different things at different times, but a treasure in an earthen vessel is the spirit man, your born again spirit filled with the Holy Spirit in your earthen vessel. But I had the most interesting thing that I saw during worship, where the treasure chest was removed and a bigger treasure chest, a much bigger treasure chest, was placed inside. I then saw that connect to him directly, like direct connect. And I saw him pouring in, and there wouldn't have been capacity before. Now, I don't understand these matters. So if you're a theologian, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what I saw. But I saw him begin to pour in a far greater capacity than we could have handled before. Now, this is, you can take this or leave it. Smith Wigglesworth, y'all know who he was? Okay, raised the dead, healed the sick, glanced delivered. I mean, really powerful guy. He said that in the spirit, he was about 100 feet tall. Now, I get that. I understand there is something that happens in the spirit that is completely different than what happens in your natural body. And if you're not spiritually minded, that'll be a little weird for you. Mm-hmm. But he's a guy that could pretty much walk it out. He pretty much proved it. And what I'm saying is God is increasing us. And I feel like as much as we are able to receive, as much as we remove our limits, as much as we are able to believe him, he will pour more. Make bigger, pour more, make bigger, pour more, because he has a need. This isn't about us, by the way. This isn't about your goodness or badness or how much you've prayed or how many right things you've done or how many wrong things you've done. God is trying to do something in the earth that is so dear to him. He's worked on it for centuries. He's worked on it for millennia. He has had a plan in his heart to take out a people that'll be truly his again. His like Jesus is his. His like Adam before the fall. Imagine how much they loved each other. You know, if you've not pondered Eden, you need to ponder Eden. Because I'm telling you, if you don't understand what happened in Eden before the fall, you won't understand what you're called to. You know, we think about it like it was a day. They hung out. We don't know how many years. We don't know how long, but we know this. God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. They were the best of friends. That was his son. Adam was the apple of his eye. And God got stolen from. He got robbed. His beloved, his son, the one he loved. Suddenly there was this, you know, I almost want to say cataclysm. It was just a horrible catastrophe. And now his beloved son is almost, we might say, it's almost like someone you love more than anyone in the world. Could be your best friend, could be your spouse, could be your kid. It's like some kind of terrible thing has happened, and now they're operating at the tiniest fraction. Spiritually darkened, he couldn't communicate anymore. Couldn't hear anymore, couldn't understand anymore. Spiritually dark. Oh wait, worse than that, intellectually darkened. He who had the mind of God was created in God's image with all the fullness, like Jesus. Now suddenly, can't even think straight, operates at a fraction of his intellectual capability. He who walked in the love and the compassion of God, he was God-centered. God was first in his life. God was absolutely first in his priority before himself. That's the nature of God. He was made with God's nature. Imagine how much was stolen from God and from us. Now suddenly, he has the nature of Satan. Everything's about me, 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 me. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. You know that story? Yeah, that's Satan. All about me. I'm going to rise. I'm going to ascend the throne. Baloney. All about him. Everything Satan does is selfish. And when Adam blew it, when they sinned, death passed upon all men, and God was stolen from, and how could he ever restore it? How could he ever restore it? How could it even be done? I've been thinking about this. I'm not sure I can give this words, but if you think about it, God couldn't actually legally take our fallen flesh nature and restore it. So what he did was he said, I'll tell you what, I'll give them a brand. I will recreate them, give them a brand new them that will live inside the old stinky them. And to the degree that they can learn to live out of that, I can operate through them. And that's who I can fellowship with. So you see how devastating it is for him when people won't communicate with the spirit man. You see how hard that is for him? They're walking around like Adam after the fall. He loves them ever as much he did. His love has never changed. That's the apple of his eye. And yet some people never even look up. Or some get born again, but stay in the wretched state of selfishness. They have a born-again spirit, thank God. Thank God they do. You know, because they'll make it in. But if they don't learn how to operate that way, they will still do what they do out of the dirty, stinky flesh. God's heart was broken. His entire system, it was cheated and stolen from him, and he has this plan. He's had it for a long time. That he's going to take out of people. See, it'll be great when we step over and we're in heaven and people say, oh, I get it now. Let's all move in the spirit. But what do you think? How do you think God feels about those who say, you know what? People think I'm nuts. I'm going to do this by faith. I don't really get it. But I just feel like the spirit is telling me to do this. How do you think that makes God feel? That's my kid. And God is raising up a people who will do it. That's why I believe that's why he loved Abraham so much. Abraham was a man led by the Spirit of God in a day where there was no Bible. Abraham was his friend, like Adam had been his friend. Abraham knew him. Abraham knew him by looking at the stars and looking at the sand. He got to know him personally. To our knowledge, he didn't have written stuff. There's some people believe he had, that there were oral traditions passed from Adam. Could be, I don't know, not that smart. But I'll tell you what, he didn't have anything compared to what we have in terms of, you know, the written word, old and new covenant. We have more than anyone's ever had in this day. You know, you want to look up a scripture, Google, 2 seconds, anything you want to know. And yet Abraham found his way to being the best friend of the Most High. He understood what is being led by the Spirit. He just followed along whatever God said that day. Do you think God was always standing there talking to him in a carnal way? No. He was following a leading. You know, did you ever hear of a guy named, well, we call him Surprise, but his name is Suppressa. Did you ever hear of that guy? Okay, he's from Africa. His parents were like witch doctors, steeped in the occult. He was only a young child, and he laid on the floor. He slept on the floor under this, like animal skin. And he heard a voice. He did not know God, didn't know anything about it. All he knew was really occult, Satanism, you know, whatever it was they did. And he hears this voice that says, get up and leave this village. Okay. He gets up. He leaves the village. He goes to a neighboring village. He had a friend there, and they start to travel together. They don't know God, but they follow this voice and finally meet up with a man that can teach them about Jesus Christ. They end up getting saved. He is just an incredibly powerful man. You'd never know it to look at him or talk to him. He's very sweet, very gentle, very soft-spoken, but boy, does he pack a punch. But what happened? He was being led by the Spirit when he didn't even know there was such a thing. One thing I've loved about the Africans is that they know all their life there's a spirit realm. They see it all the time. They see stuff happen all the time. It would never occur to them there wasn't a spirit realm. So when you tell them about the Holy Spirit, that's exciting to them. Americans struggle with the concept because we don't think things are spiritual. They are. So God is trying to do a thing in his church. He will do it. I'm not saying, I shouldn't say trying. He will do it. But whosoever will be involved will be involved. And whosoever won't, won't. And what we have to do is make sure we remove the limitations off our belief system. Because we have a tendency to say, well, God might do that through somebody, but not me. Well, all bets are off now. You know, it's like all the bans and limitations are being removed. God will use whosoever will, period. You'll see him use brand new saints, people that are just saved and don't know their toe from their thumb. You'll see God use them in great power because they simply believe. You'll see him use children in power. We've already seen it. We've seen him use people with terrible doctrine because he doesn't do it. Listen, he doesn't do it based on our qualifications. If he did, no one would ever be used for anything. Before God, we have no qualifications except this, Jesus Christ in us. And so, I believe, I've been thinking about this, hope I can give it words, that in the garden, we know that he made a plan. He said to himself, this is very bad. I got to do something, right? So he makes a plan not only to send Jesus to redeem mankind and give us a regenerated, a brand new, born again spirit, but also to give us the Holy Spirit because we couldn't even learn how to function. The Holy Spirit is our mentor. He's our guide. He's our coach. He's the one that has to help us do our Bible study because he wrote it, right? It's inspired by the Spirit. So God put this plan into effect to help us operate. And I believe he's bringing us into a day where, you know, he doesn't, I started to say this, I need to finish my sentences. He doesn't use us based on our qualifications. He uses us based on his. It's his perfection. It's Christ in you. The whole purpose of the whole thing. This is the mystery that was hidden from the foundation of the earth. This is it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus in you doing the works. It's no longer I who live, but Christ in me, he does the works. That was the secret. If Satan had known it, he'd have never crucified the Lord of glory. He'd have never done it because now Jesus is present in the born-again believers. And the only hope Satan has got is if the born-again believers don't get it. So he's tried to keep it a hidden mystery so the born-again believers bumble and stumble through with religion and false works and pride, thinking, I did that, you know, doo-dah, or I'm so bad, I didn't do that. See, Satan doesn't care which one you pick, because both will cause you not to operate in the truth. And the truth is, I really don't have anything to offer but Christ in me. He can do everything. I don't have any righteousness, but he's perfect and he's in me. He can heal people through me, even when I'm not worthy. And you say, well, I am worthy. Yeah, you were made worthy by the blood of Christ. But if you get this, you can operate in any kind of healing power and not worry about, you know, stop looking in the mirror. That's not about you. Look in the other mirror, the heavenly mirror. I said, look in the heavenly mirror, because the heavenly mirror shows you the real you, which looks a whole lot like Jesus. You know, did you know that when you're operating out of that spirit man inside you and when you're listening to the Holy Spirit, did you know that if he gives you one sentence to say and you say it, it is the ultimate power? You'll see instant healing. Now, you got to be hooked to the Holy Ghost, right? We see people try this stuff in the flesh. You have to learn. You have to ask him to teach you, but I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit gives you something to do and you do it, it's one and the same as if Jesus did it. In other words, it will have that effect. If he says, be healed, and you repeat that, they're healed. Period. So we have to get rid of the limitations, meaning the whole, I'm not good enough, I did this wrong, God's mad at me. You have to go after that thing, go for the juggler. Pray until you get free from that stuff. And if you're a person that's tempted with spiritual pride and you think, you know, you're doing pretty good and you know more than everybody else and, you know, I've got it together, you know, and God may have used you a lot, go after that thing with a juggler, because both of those will stop you from the one thing that God wants to do. It isn't about us, whether it isn't about our goodness or our badness. It isn't. It just isn't about us at all. It's about him. It's about what he gets out of this. And if we will dedicate ourselves to seeing to it that God gets restored to him, You know, we're always asking, and I'm all for it, we're always asking God to restore us sevenfold the things that Satan stole from us. What about what he stole from him? What about what God had stolen from him? His children, his family, the thing he loved the very most. What if, as a church, we begin to go after it? Now think about this. You know, there's a scripture that says, you are God's treasure. You know, treasure in heaven is people. Yeah. We think in terms of finances, and that's cool, but, you know, I'm sure it says, you know, store up yourselves treasure in heaven. That's cool. But the treasure I want in heaven, it's people. Because that's of more value to God. You know, they just pay the streets with gold. It's on the floor. It's like the lowest thing. What can you give to God that will make his day? A person. A soul. Or a restored soul. A person that was losing their way and you helped them gently to find it by the Holy Ghost. I know you've heard me say this before, but I have to talk about washing feet for a minute. I am persuaded that that whole story, Jesus said some things. He washed their feet. He said, if I, your Lord and Master, have done this to you, you should do it to one another, right? But he said this thing. He said, all of you are clean except one. So was he talking about physical dirt? All of you are clean but one, that guy. Whom was called the son of perdition. He was not clean spiritually. So the dirt we are to wash and the feet we are to wash, that's a spiritual thing, I believe. It's nice to wash somebody's feet in the natural, but I really believe that the point he's trying to make is when somebody's been walking around, remember, they were walking around, they were clean except their feet. Because they've been walking around in the dirt, in the earth, right? Watching too much news, looking at too much Facebook. Their feet got a little dirty. Now they're having a panic attack. Amen. And they come and they say, ah, and you go, let me wash your feet. That's good. Right? What do? We break it off them. Do you ever meet somebody that's having a panic attack? It's not even over anything legitimate. You don't condemn them. You wash their feet. I break the effect of that off you in the name of Jesus. Recently, I prayed with somebody that had a blow to the head, a physical trauma to the head, and it caused an injury. And I, in the name of Jesus, I break that trauma off you, and I command a reversal physically of what happened, right? Because trauma causes, even in the spirit, even in the emotions, even in the physical. What are we doing? We're breaking the yoke. Isn't this the fast I've chosen for you? Remember Isaiah? He wasn't so happy with all our fasting and, you know, sackcloth and ashes. Big deal. He said, is that that's the fast I've chosen? No. It's to break the hand, to loose the bands of wickedness, to break the heavy yoke. Take away the pointing of the finger. And I monitor my thoughts, and there's times when I have to go, you know, stop it. You know, I'll look at somebody and go, you don't like their glasses. Right. Those look silly. Why don't they look, no, shut up. We have to take away the pointing of the finger and break the yoke. How do you break the yoke? You pray with them or you pray for them. But I believe we're actually in the midst of a transition in the church. I actually believe we're in the midst of a transition. I'm seeing something in the spirit. I haven't seen it yet in the natural, but I believe that there's a shift going on, and we're going to begin to sense it in our homes, in our life with God, in our relationship with God, in our dreams, in our Bible study habits. Things are shifting, and it's going to be like, what? Wow, I wanted this for years. I've had some things happen to me recently that I've wanted for years, you know, wanted to be able to do in God for years, and for whatever reason, just couldn't seem to do it. Suddenly, I can do it. Is it anything I did right? No. It's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God. Not anything I did right. It's because he's good. Always so good. His goodness, listen to me, His goodness is better than our badness. Right? His wisdom is greater than our foolishness. We can make 100 mistakes in a row and feel like, I don't even know where to go. 1 second with God. He never holds back His goodness. He never holds back and says, really 100 times, Holly? No. He acts like it was nothing. And just in a second, He puts you right back where you need to be. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't yell at you. He doesn't chide. And the only times He ever does that, and He does occasionally correct, is so you'll get it better the next time. And that's always done with love. That's always done in a loving way, unless you're really got a heart that needs to be dealt with, which I know no one in here does. That hearts can grow hard, and sometimes He'll be a little terse with them, okay? Because they can no longer hear. So if you ever hear a prophet being terse, don't worry. It happens. But God, when He corrects us, it's because He loves us. And He wants us to have more and better. He wants us to walk in the blessing. If God had His way, we would be walking at such heights in Him. If God had His way, you and I, all of us, would be walking at such heights, such levels in God. Such quality of the spirit realm. Releasing so much into the earth, every one of us. That is God's will. Don't think, I don't know if God wants to do that. He does. He loves His kids. What decent parent doesn't want their child to be the very best? The most, I've never been able to forget this. I saw, he's a worldly guy. He's actually a Jewish man, Kirk Douglas. I don't know if you know this, but he's a Jewish man. He was being interviewed and they said, does it ever bother you that your son seems to achieve more than you in acting? He said, only a woman would ever ask that question. He said, any normal man wants his son to excel, to do better than he did. Isn't that interesting? So you understand that's the nature of God talking right there. God gave men that nature, that they want their child to be the best. When a kid does well, a real dad, unless he's got real strongholds, will be so proud of that kid. Even if what they did wasn't all that great in everybody else's eyes, that dad's like, my kid, my kid did this. They're proud of him. They want him to succeed. God wants you to succeed. It is a scripture. He delights in the prosperity of His servant. That's a scripture. God delights for His children to have victory. He delights in it so much that He sent His son to die to make a way for us to have it. So the issue isn't ever God. It's us. It's our belief systems, our thinking. We've got to work on our thinking. We've got to get better at spotting the enemy when he tries to throw a dart and say, no, that's not what God said in His word. We've got to get better at elevating the word above the devil and the flesh and the world and what our friends say. We've got to come to elevate the word so high that if it says so, it's so. And any other word, we say, no, it is written. Because I'm telling you, when we begin to get good at that, we will have victory in every area where we apply that. Do you ever notice, and I don't know if you're like this, but I noticed that in my life, there were certain areas that God taught me right away. I just knew. I innately knew certain things, walked in victory from day one because I knew it. I just wouldn't allow anything else. Isn't that interesting? But there were areas where I did not know, right? Wasn't holding up the word of God, wasn't saying it as written, and I was getting clobbered. Trying to get you to see it. So any area where we begin to establish the word as the measure and say, this is what it is. Say, well, I don't see that in the earth. I don't care what you see. This is what the word says. And therefore, it is a fact. It's already a fact in heaven. I am establishing it in the earth because somebody here has to establish it. God is in heaven. You are on earth. Whose job is it to establish it in the earth? Ours. So God has already told you how it is in heaven. The promises of God are, here's already a case in heaven. This is already a fact in heaven. It's already done, signed, sealed, and delivered. It belongs to you. It's yours by covenant right. And if we're so carnal and so earthly that we're looking at what it looks like in the earth or what it feels like in the earth, we will not establish in the earth the truth of the Word of God. God is looking for somebody who says, I won't have it. Amen. I won't have it. God's Word says this, I will establish it, that's a fact. And anybody, any born-again person that will put their foot down and stop accepting the trash that this world tries to give, the lies from the enemy, the stuff he tries to tell your mind, the doubts and the fears and all that stuff. You know, we hear a lot of stuff about faith. But what I discovered is we can trick ourselves into thinking we are in faith by doing the formula, but not actually being in faith. Did you know that? We can say, I'm believing God and be doing it outwardly right. Right? But there's a deep inward thing. And this isn't something, a decision you make once. The way I think and the way I see it, at least in my life, is that's a decision I have to make every time the enemy tries to present me with something else. I have to make a choice. No. Now, in some cases, that's real easy. Real easy for me. Other cases, there's been some cases where I thought, boy, he's trying to take me out. He's not fooling. And I've had to say, I can't just say I'm believing God. I have to look at the Word of God and say, this is the living Word of God. It lives and abides forever. It's forever settled in heaven. All of creation hangs on the Word. All things are held together by the Word of His power. All things are held together by the Word of His power. The Word of God is the foundation of heaven. It's not just something we're using here for a time. Heaven works completely differently. And the Word of God is the foundation. It's the walls. It's the roof. It's everything in heaven. And if we don't operate that way, we're going to have failure and then wonder, why didn't God come through? That's why. I did this all wrong for too many years. And when I got this, and I'm still getting it more and more. The older I get, the more I get. Because, you know, you want to stay alive around here. You better learn this. Yeah. And at some point, we each have to get it for ourselves. I hope I can quote this right. I was listening to Brother Hagin the other day. And Brother Hagin, he was talking about how this is just brilliant. There's a guy that pretty much raised himself from the dead, by the way. And he was talking about how a lot of times in a big meeting, people get healed because there's corporate faith. Or there's somebody there like Edgar that has a gift, and people get a radical healing. But then time goes by, maybe a year goes by, and they would lose their healing, and they would just accept that. And he said, sooner or later, you have to stand for your healing. Sooner or later, it's between you and the Word of God. You know, because I'm going to tell you something, in the middle of the night, that's when Satan really likes to say, it's over for you, you're going down, this is the last time. Right? If that ever happened, it happened to me more than one time, where I thought, man, this is it. But, you know, is my will in order? I mean, literally, is my will in order? And there's nobody there, you know. You know what I've learned? See the Word. Black everything else out, see the Word, and realize what it is. For too long, I didn't really understand the magnitude of the power of the Word of God. All of heaven, all the universe, every star you look at, this planet we're standing on, was all created by the Word of God. That's how much power there is. It will never fade away. No, never. In all eternity, the Word will still stand. We'll still discuss the Word in heaven. We'll still have classes in heaven. We'll still be learning in heaven. We'll be learning the great histories of God and the great mysteries of God through the Word of God. God, he said he valued his word above his name. And I'm going to tell you something. In the middle of the night, when you think, this is it, Buster, I'm going down for the last time, and there's nobody that knows how to pray well enough to get me out of this one. Right? Because don't we just run around to each other? But I'm going to tell you something. There are very few people with real expertise in prayer. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you the truth. And it takes some time to develop real expertise in prayer. And even then, you sometimes find frontiers, hallelujah, that you never met before. But in the darkest moment, you look and you see the word. You say, this is forever settled in heaven. Nothing can break it. And if he said it so, I'm going to latch onto that. That is Jesus to me. He is the word made flesh. That's my life. Satan, you can't break it. And I'm going to take this word, I'm going to shove it in your face until you choke on it, because you can't break it. You don't have this kind of power.
Right.
He does not. And if you won't let go, he can't make you. You know how we lose? We let go.
Yeah.
We say, well, I tried it 3 times. I believed it for 3 days and it didn't happen. I guess God didn't want it. Oh, okay, so suddenly the word of God is of no effect.
Yeah.
Because you wimped out? Come on, listen, I used to wimp out, so I can say it. God is trying to raise up a people who won't settle. Who won't accept. This world is full of trash. It's full of sickness and disease and all kinds of threats and garbage and blah, 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 blah. But we are supposed to be accept the exception. And I think a lot of this stuff wouldn't even be happening if we'd have put our foot down a long time ago and said, we're not doing that. I think we, you know, it seems like things happen suddenly, but the truth is it's been happening for a long time, right? And it's just now becoming more visible.
Yeah.
And now we're like, oh, let's pray. Just saying. But even in this, I believe God will have his say. I believe he will get his sons and daughters that he wants, and they're not going to be half-baked people that show up at church and don't know north from south. I believe he's going to get a remnant that is all in, that value him more than self, that want him to get the glory and not self, that will pay any price to restore to him what was stolen and 7 times more. I really believe that we're entering a day, and I'm going to tell you something. If you put God first, he will put you first. If you make his glory paramount and not your own, he will make you look really good, even when you don't look so good. I'm telling you the truth. If you care more for his glory than you care for your own, he will make you shine. You say, I don't think I did that right.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, that's because that's his nature, because he's sweet. He's so sweet. God wants to take his people in this day, and he wants to show himself off. He wants to show the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers through the church. He wants to take a bunch of people and make them a whole bunch of Adam before the falls. A whole bunch of Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, thank you, Holy Spirit, he reminded me of this. I went through, I know you heard me talk about it, what's called the death process, where you die to self that Christ may live. Okay? It's not a lot of fun. But you do it because you care about him. And you know there's something he's got for you. Some of you are called. And you need to be willing to lay down your life for his. Right? If you're called, you don't want a ministry that's half man, half God. You want a ministry that's zero human and all him. And nothing else will do for you. It must be pure. It's not worth doing. We see ministries all the time fall. God bless them. We're not mad at them, and we don't judge them. But I'm saying that some people got the call, but they went off and did it in the flesh, and they didn't fully die to their deal. So God couldn't fully manifest himself. And because of it, there was failure. No judgment. I'm just telling you, don't be one of those. Pay the price. Do whatever it takes. If he says, you got to get rid of that, okay, yes, sir. That hurts, okay. If he says, you got to go through the kiln, you know what a kiln is? Yeah, not a lot of fun. Hot. Hot. You think you're gonna die. You wish you would die. You beg God to let you die. But what he's doing is he's recreating you into a vessel that can carry something without ever taking the credit. It's worth doing. Now, I'm in the middle of the death process, and I'm going to this church, and I'm sitting there real quiet. Nobody knows anything about me. I'm just quiet. I come quiet, leave quiet. Don't tell anybody anything. Never say a thing. Never. Nobody knows anything about me except I'm quiet. And I have this vision. I see people that have been through the death process. And I see all these garden tombs. And they're jerking people out of the tombs. You get it? They're causing people who've been through the death process to be raised up in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, to move by the Spirit. Can you see it? This is for all of us. This isn't for a few special people. God is calling all of us, and whosoever will. There will be a lot of people who say, I don't know about that dying stuff. It's a little too hard. One time God asked me to leave a church. Nothing wrong with a church. But the day he told me, and I prayed a lot about it, I knew he was telling me that my calling was to move on, and it was hard, and my friends were there. I'm just going to share you the whole vision with you, because I feel like this is for somebody. I saw them as though they were all in a hotel pool and they were swimming. They loved the Holy Spirit. They had an anointing. They were swimming in this pool and really having a great time. And I picked up this little backpack and I waved and I left. And I went up this mountain. Now I'm going to tell you before I tell you the rest. A swimming pool is a good thing, but it's circulating water. Okay? It's a good thing, but the day comes when you need a river. Okay? Okay? Not telling you to leave your church. Don't misunderstand me. But God was telling me to. So I go up in this vision. I go up the mountain and I'm way up there. And there's this ice cold. You ever been way in the high mountains? I know John has. The water is cold. It's like liquid ice, right? I mean, it's like, and you try to wash your hair and your hair's like, boing, you know. It's like ice. Anyway, in this vision, I'm standing in this water. And there's people coming out of these caves, and I'm sticking them in the water and sending them on their way. Sticking them in the water and sending them on their way. Again, this isn't about me. This is about us. People you didn't expect. Some of you are going to come in contact with people that were drug addicts, hopeless cases they've been given up on, and you're going to have the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord, the real word of the Lord, when it comes, it has power. It has the power to heal. It has the power to deliver. And you say, I'm not a people person. Listen, you're looking at not a people person yet. Come on, really? Seriously? Goody, you found somebody more backwards. And yet, when you say the word of the Lord, it pierces like an arrow and it has the power, right? It has the power to set free. It has the power to deliver. It's not that hard. It just takes a little bit of guts the first time, right? Because we get afraid. Oh, what if it's not God? Well, what if it is? And you know what? Because it is. I'm just going to tell you, all those times I worried it wasn't God, it was. All those times I thought, oh, what if it's not God? What if I look like a fool? Well, so what? And it always turned out it was God. And because of it, I got to see people healed and healed and healed and healed. But some of you, I see some of you pulling people out of the bars. Pulling people out of, like, rehabs. Pulling people out of prostitution. Pulling people out of, what's that word? What's the word? Slavery, you know. Trafficking, thank you. I see some of you, and it won't be hard for you. Jesus himself in you doing the work, because it's no longer I. I is going to become very dim. Self is going to become very dim. Jesus is going to become much more the focal point. And I'm telling you, when you start to see Jesus move, you know, there's just nothing more fun. There's nothing more exciting. And you're not going to care about anything else except seeing him move and making sure he gets the glory. And I'll tell you one more thing, one more reason why the death process is so important. So important. When you go through it, there's one thing you learn. And you don't learn it in your head. You learn it way down in your guts. And for the rest of your life, you know one thing. I tried everything to do this and I couldn't. I tried everything to fix it and I couldn't. I tried everything to get it right and I couldn't. I cannot do anything. Jesus alone can do it. Amen. And so if he ever uses you, and people come up and people like to schmooze you, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And you kind of like, seriously? You weren't there. I was there. You know, I saw it. It was not a pretty sight. And when you go properly through the death process, there's one thing you know, that in my flesh dwells no good thing. But Jesus Christ can do anything. And it gives you an amazing faith to know he can do anything through you. He's not limited by your ick. Isn't that great? God can use anybody. And that's so liberating. I love holiness. I want to live right before God. I love it. I love his word. I love trying to do things right. And I love weeping before him. I'm so often saying to him, I'm so sorry that just how we are humans. I feel like you got gypped. You know, I'm so sorry. And I'm so sorry that there's been times when I should have done certain things I didn't do. I could have done more. I'm sorry. You know, but it's not like a condemnation thing. It's like, truly, Lord, you're the one and only. You know, I believe that's a right heart. And what we want to do is release him in the earth in such a way that people see the greatness and the glory of God. We need to become jealous for his glory. We need to become kind of sticklers that he gets the credit. You know, I don't mean in a snotty way. If people say nice things, you can say thank you, but don't get weird. You know, every once in a while we get to meet somebody that really has it together, boy, oh boy. And they let us know that they have it together. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, I'm glad you got it together, because hallelujah. You know. But it's a trick of the devil, isn't it? I'm telling you, this is a new day, and I'm telling you, no matter what your problems were, no matter what your faults have been, no matter what habits you're still dealing with, God will help you with that. God will help you with that. I promise you, he will not leave you. He will help you. Just begin to seek him. Just seek him. Try to find out what he wants. What would make your day, God? What is it you really want? Teach me. As you do that, God's going to morph you. You know, he's going to change you. He'll help you. We can't even change ourselves. But you'll find habits dropping off. I was in Florida. I think it might have happened at the retreat. Something happened to me at the retreat. I didn't even know it till about a week later. And all of a sudden, I'm, you know, it's like, hey, there's this new thing. Who'd have thunk? You know, because in the presence, you never know what God's going to give you. So I really believe this is our greatest day. Don't let this stuff discourage you. There's a lot of stuff out there. And it's hard to watch. But turn to the Lord. You know, turn your focus into him. And stay real connected to him. Because I'm telling you, I really believe this is our greatest day. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.